Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
And as we've been going through this book of Colossians and focusing on the person of who Jesus is and his work in and through us, Paul is continuing his instruction, and it's really application to everywhere we've been going. And as you listen today, it's imperative that you understand this, because there's some ways that you can practice your Christianity that are wasteful, pathetic practices that will hinder your joy and will rob others the privilege of seeing who Jesus Christ is.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Some Christians base their faith on the rules and practices they abide by, but when our motivation shifts from pleasing God to pleasing other people, we run into serious problems. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff warns against harmful, hyper-religious practices that all believers need to watch out for. It's part of our series in the book of Colossians called Focused. And if you can't join us here on the radio, listen whenever you'd like at bravemedia.online. Now, let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23, as we continue a message titled Pathetic Practices. Here's Pastor Jeff explaining the first of three bad practices many Christians make the mistake of falling into.
Here's the first one that you need to avoid the temptation of, okay? Here's how I said it. Avoid the temptation of hyper-religious stuff, okay? Hyper-religious stuff. Now, when it comes to religion, all of us practice some form of religion. I mean, we could say we're religious because we came to church today, or we religiously do something, like we read our Bible. So in some sense, we're religious. I'm talking about like hyper-religious stuff. And here's what he's talking about. He's talking about religious practices that you either have the expectation of others to keep, or you think they have the expectation of you. These are not religious practices between you and God that you're doing to honor Him. These are hyper-religious practices. I do this or I don't do this because of what you're going to think of me. Or I have expectations of what you should do or don't do, and that's my expectation of you. That's hyper-religious stuff. That goes over the top. And Paul says, let no one judge you when it comes to those things. Christian, listen to me. Your Christianity is not based upon what other Christians think of you. You're not called to perform for anybody else. Because so many Christians get involved in hyper-religious stuff. Well, they expect this of me, and my mom and dad expect this of me, and my pastor expects this of me, and my church expects this of me, and those people in my small group, they expect me to do this or don't do this. So I'm kind of living as a people pleaser as a Christian. There's total bondage in that. You are not called to live with hyper-religious stuff, okay? And it hinders your walk with Christ. And when non-believers see it, here's what they see. You talk about your freedom in Christ. You're the most bound up person I've ever seen. Why would I ever want to be like you? If I became a Christian, I'd have to stop this. I'd have to start this. I'd have to stop this. It's just a bunch of rules. Where do the people get all this stuff? From your hyper-religious stuff. That's where they get it. They don't get it from the gospel, because the gospel doesn't tell you to live that way. It's Christians that aren't living for God that teach these man-made rules and religious regulations. Hyper-religious stuff keeps us from the best that God has. So Paul says, hey, listen, let no one be your judge when it comes to these things. Well, what things, Paul? In regard to food or drink, or in respect to festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Well, what does that mean? He said, well, let's talk about this. How about in regard to food or drink? What can Christians eat or drink? Do you realize in the first century there was a debate over that stuff? I mean, do you know that in the 21st century there's still a debate over that stuff? See, religious, hyper-religious stuff tries to fix all the externals so that you'll know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I'll think that you're doing what you're supposed to do. But it doesn't deal with the heart. And in the heart is where all sin emerges from. And yet, Christians, we make so many external rules about what it means to be a Christian that amount to nothing. It's excrement, it's garbage, and it doesn't help you grow spiritually. And yet we get all riled up about these things, don't we? And that Jesus says, That's not important. Paul says it's not important. So here's what he says. Don't let anyone judge you by outside external things. That means this. You don't have to people please anybody else. And it's super important because there's this temptation, and I felt it for the last 30 years. I feel it even more as a pastor that I need to act or be a certain way so that you'll think that I'm walking with Christ well. And none of it means anything. What matters is what Jesus thinks about how well I'm walking. Even when Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3, he says this, "But it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court, in fact. I do not even examine myself." Here's what Paul says. I know y'all have opinions about me, and I love you, and I really don't care what you think. Because it doesn't really matter to me how you view me about my life. Here's what he says matters in verse 4. "For I am conscious of nothing against myself." It means I'm not aware I'm doing anything wrong. "Yet I am not by this acquitted, but the Lord is the one who examines me. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Then each man's praise will come to him from God." Here's what he's saying. I don't care if you judge me. I'm not even saying I'm right. I'll have accountability in my life, but my accountability is with the Lord. And guess what he's going to do on judgment day? He's not only going to expose my behaviors and what I did or didn't do. He's going to expose all my motives in my heart for why I did it, which I'm far more concerned with than my external behaviors. And Paul talks about food or drink. He talks about festivals, which for Israel would have been annual festivals like the Passover or the Feast of Tabernacles or Pentecost. He talks about the new moon. The Hebrews functioned on the lunar calendar, so the new moon was the first day of the month. When the moon came out, it would be announced that, hey, the moon is out, and so there were offerings that needed to be made. You can read about this in Numbers chapter 28, verse 11, which is the first new moon you can read about in the Bible. And then how about the Sabbath? That even has ways it makes its way into our day. See, here's what he's talking about. All of the religious festivals and things were simply a shadowing or a foreshadowing of what was to come. They were representative of all that Christ was going to do. It's kind of like if you're running in sunlight, people can see your shadow. It's somewhat of a representation of you, but it's not you. You're you. It's just a shadow. All religious activities are a shadow of what is to come. The most important part about the shadow is who is it shadowing? It's shadowing Jesus. You have Jesus. You don't need the shadow. So what about the Sabbath? I mean, there's a lot of people that are Christians like, yeah, we got to keep all the Old Testament laws and all the Old Testament rules. We got to keep the Sabbath. They worshiped on Saturday. We got to worship on Saturday. I mean, I didn't have to tell our congregation last night because they already got it because they were here on Saturday, so they were cool with it. Right, but there's some people, right, that think, well, I mean, they're making a good case for this, and maybe I do need to eat that way. Maybe I do need to follow the ceremonial laws and the dietary laws and all these things. Here's what I would say. Romans 10:4 says that the law ended with Christ. It was fulfilled. And you say, well, Pastor Jeff, you're saying the law is gone? I'm saying, no, the law is not gone. I'm saying Christ fulfilled the law. Well, where is he at now? He's in me. So the law is already fulfilled in me, so I don't have to perform anymore. I don't have to read my Old Testament to keep all the old rules because Christ in me, the hope of glory, has already fulfilled them all. It's done. It's finished. He's risen. He's in me. Quit following all the religious, hyper-religious stuff when you already have the fullness of what the shadow was telling you was coming. Amen? Give me about 30 seconds to take a deep breath so I don't pass out. All right. Like, and this is why it gets so important, because if we drive it down, religious expectations drive people away and they're rubbish. Pastoral expectations drive people away and they're rubbish. Because when you have religious expectations, you will feel a need to defend yourself or excuse things that you're doing for other well-meaning Christians. So let's just talk about some of them, can we? I mean, let's just have a little fun this morning. I mean, I don't know. Let's just talk about one, I mean, that may have come up this, I don't know. Halloween. Can Christians celebrate Halloween? I mean, my goodness gracious, there are so many people that have so many differing opinions on this. If we took a vote today, we would have differing opinions here. There are people that would say there's absolutely no way that was birthed in evil, that was birthed of the evil one. It's all about demonic spirits. If you're a Christian and you celebrate Halloween, I would have to break fellowship with you. There are other Christians that would say this, there's no greater time in the year. It's the one time I get to meet all my neighbors, and it means one thing for me, candy, and I get to eat, and I get to laugh, I get to dress up. What a better way to show the love of Christ to my neighbors? Who's right? They both are. If you have the belief that you cannot, by faith, act with a good conscience to celebrate Halloween, don't celebrate it. If, by faith, you can celebrate Halloween that brings glory to God, celebrate it. What's hyper-religious stuff? Hyper-religious stuff is when you tell me, I can't celebrate it. When you tell me, you must celebrate it. Now I'm putting my faith into you, telling you what you can and can't do. That's wrong every time. So if you didn't enjoy Halloween this week and you huddled down your house and had a prayer meeting, fantastic. If you did what we did and went out and had a great time, fantastic. It doesn't matter. I'm not putting mine on you. You don't need to put yours on me. I answer to God for how I handle that. You get it? Brothers and sisters, we are just getting warmed up here this morning. All right. Because this stuff fires me up. How about drinking? I mean, alcohol. Can we drink alcohol? How about caffeine? I mean, where do we get? Because there's some that would say, no, you don't understand. Pastor Jeff, you're a Christian. You can never drink. If you drink even a drop, you're not really a Christian. And others would say, there's nothing in the Bible that teaches that you can't drink, so you can drink. You know, it's okay. I do it socially all the time. Who's right? They both are. See, here's what's wrong. What's wrong is when you tell me that because of your convictions, which are great convictions, that you don't drink, that therefore I can't. That's wrong. What's also wrong is if I have the liberty of doing that, but for the sake of you, I won't because of your lack of faith. So it would be wrong for me to invite you to drink when you don't have the liberty to drink. Right? So there's tension all the time, but the tension should be my walk with Christ. How about this? Can I have cable? Can I watch rated R movies? I mean, we can go down the list and split the church all day long, because when you have hyper-religious stuff, it means we all have to land in the same place. No, when we have Christ on the inside, we get to make decisions by faith for what Jesus wants us to do in that season of our life that brings him the greatest glory. And when we're acting in a way that brings Jesus Christ the greatest glory, I don't need to convince you how to behave like me. I need to be telling you, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or in all that you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you celebrated Halloween, celebrate it for Jesus. And if people ask you, do you really celebrate Halloween? Say, yes, and I love it. And if you don't celebrate Halloween, and people say, well, why don't you? Because by faith, I think it's wrong, then tell people that. It's okay. Just don't make your decisions other people's decisions. Amen? That's hyper-religious stuff. Feeling free this morning? Okay. I mean, we can go one further. Got a couple more. How about possessions? How about money? How much money can a Christian really have and still be a Christian? What kind of house should a Christian live in? What kind of car should a Christian drive? How much should Christians really give when it comes to the offering? See, I mean, if we're going to have uniformity on that, we'll make everybody in here mad before we leave here this morning, except for the person that got their way. Right? See, that's religion. See, here's what you really need to understand is that everything you have is from the Lord, and how do you best steward what God has given to you in a way that you know that you'll be able to give an answer to the Lord for all that you have. That's why Paul said, I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to live in prosperity. I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to have things. I never felt more righteous when I was poor. I've never felt more righteous when I had things. It's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's how you steward what you do have to the glory of God. And hyper-religious people want people to have an idea of what they should have, what they shouldn't have, how they should live, how they should spend, because I have an expectation for you to be my friend for how you need to do that. And also, you have an expectation for me. And once we find the two or three people that think just exactly like us, then we hang out for the next 30 years and we call that discipleship. That's not discipleship. That's religion. You see what I'm saying? Could we go one more? You guys having fun yet? Hey, how about pastors? Like, how should pastors live? Like, what should they be doing? I mean, how often should they read their Bible every day? How often should they pray? How often should they study? What should their wife be like? What's the expectation you have of her? How should she live? What should the kids be like? How should they act? What kind of possession should they have? How should they steward it? What should they do? How much should a pastor actually make? What should his salary look like? What should it be? Right? That's called hyper-religious garbage. It means you have an expectation on me that you won't let me have of you. That, by the way, I don't want to have of you. I don't care. right? I care that you steward the best that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've seen it, and I could tell you story upon story upon story. I remember my little girl was like 5 or 6 years old, and she was downstairs in children's ministry, and she came home crying one day, and we were asking her why, and she's bawling, and she said, "Well, Daddy, one of the teachers told me that since you were the pastor, I should have known the answer." And so I quickly put a restraining order on my wife, and we prayed about it, and, you know, it's okay. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, you are this. So, like, whatever you would put on other people, here's what I would do first. Just go stand in front of the mirror and say, would you be comfortable if everybody used the same for you? Would you? No, but he's a pastor. No, it doesn't matter. Put it in front of you, and if you'd be comfortable with everybody doing that for you, with their own opinions of you, which may or may not be completely scriptural, then you can do it for others. And you'll find that you can't do that. So Paul says, avoid the temptation of hyper-religious stuff. The gospel is this. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. It's Christ in you. Well, you say, well, Pastor Jeff, you know, I struggled with alcohol, and I used to drink it a bunch, and now the Lord's shown me that I shouldn't drink it anymore, so I'm in this camp where I don't drink. And I would say, that's the right choice. It's absolutely the right choice. Because Jesus showed you what he wanted you to be, and by faith you need to be that. What I'm telling you not to do is don't make everybody else that you come into contact with have to do what you do. That's the point. Well, God told me to get rid of TV. Then get rid of TV. But he didn't tell the whole church to get rid of their TV. So don't make it a rule. Hey, well, God told me that we needed to give away 35% of our income this year. Then give away 35% of your income this year. But God didn't tell the whole church to give away 35% of their income this year. You see how we take what God shows us and we make it corporate when God's making it personal? So avoid the hyper-religious stuff where you put expectations on others. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, I come here every week. You preach the gospel. You show us what to do. Yeah, that's for people that love Jesus, that have Christ on the inside, that really want to apply what he says. It's for those that really want to grow. There's no rules. It's relationship. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? These are all just shadows of things to come. And when we get involved in the expectations of others, what I expect of my pastor, what I expect of my small group, what I expect of my friends, what do I expect of my church, what do they expect of me? And then we all form like this. We have this religious practice when nothing's going on in here and the world looks on and says, I don't want to be any part of that. And they're right. They don't. I, as your pastor, I don't want to be any part of that. You don't want to be any part of that. We want to be part of a community where Christ is alive and celebrated for who he is, and we have freedom by faith to glorify him any way that he would so desire. Amen? Amen. Avoid the temptation of hyper-religious stuff. All right, secondly, we're back in Colossians. Number two, avoid the temptation of hyper-experiential stuff. He says, let no one keep defrauding you. That means to be your spiritual referee. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stands on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Here's what he's saying. There are some in the body of Christ who, once they're converted, it's not a matter of expectations of others or their expectations of me. Here's the expectation. I have expectations of God for how he is to treat me all the time. And I expect to see him do something tangibly every moment of the day. I expect when I open my Bible, I hear his voice right now. I expect when I pray for healing, it's done. I expect when I need a new job, there it is. I expect if somebody's sick and we pray for them, they're healed. I'm expecting because God, you owe me. Because God, I'm yours and you got to do all this stuff by faith. Now, before we get to the point of this, I understand. I'm a pastor that believes that all the gifts are available today. I believe that God can do anything that we read about in the Bible. I believe that God can heal. I believe that God could raise the dead. I believe that God can decide to prosper you in numbers of ways, but I don't think he's obligated to. I don't think he's obligated to you because you speak it. As a matter of fact, I know some very, very faithful people who have developed cancer, who have been prayed for, who God chose by his grace not to heal and decided to heal them on the other side. Amen. Okay? Because here's the problem. When you want hyper-experiential stuff, you'll get mad at God if God doesn't do what he does. And if God doesn't do it for other people the way you think he should, you'll tell them it's because they don't have enough faith. So if you have cancer and you've been praying for it and somebody prays over you that's hyper-experiential, here's what they'll tell you. The reason you're not healed yet, sister, is because you don't have faith yet. It's not true. Some of God's greatest saints have gotten sick and died. All God's saints who have ever lived have died. Okay? So you can't say that. Hyper-experiential people want God to do stuff. You'll hear them say stuff like this. God's on the move. Hey, in these latter days, he's doing some stuff. To which I respond, he's always been on the move and he's always been doing stuff. And I believe that God is experiential and I believe we do want to encounter him, but I don't think he's obligated at my words or your words to do what we want him to do. You'll hear people say stuff like this. Well, the Lord told me, but I can't tell you about it yet. You're not ready for it. That's hyper-experiential stuff, right? I mean, I know people that in the last year, the Lord's told them this, and then the Lord told him that, and then the Lord told him this, and I'll sit down and I'm like, well, you told me like 3 months ago it was this, and then it was this, and then it was this. The Lord's told you like 6 different things, and I know my Lord, he's not schizophrenic, so which one did he tell you? Right? We use that as like a buffer for a lack of what's going on in the heart. The most spiritual people you know are rooted in the word and are persevering under trial when they don't understand sometimes why God hasn't moved the way we read about in the scriptures, but they still love Jesus and they're centered on the cross and the gospel of Christ in them, the hope of glory. Amen? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to go outside our church and go to a conference, and it's not wrong to experience God in a place outside church. I certainly have, or it's not wrong to go to a worship night with lots of other, it's not wrong. It's when your whole identity is wrapped up in what's the next experience and where are we going and who's speaking and oh, they're good and this person, oh, if you come to this, if you miss out on this, you're not going to get the gift of tongues, and if you miss out on this, you're not going to be able to hear a prophecy word for you, and if you miss out on this, you can miss out on anything as long as you have Christ in you. You have everything you need. Hyper-experiential stuff is the stuff that says, I don't have what I need something extra. And he goes, here's what you'll notice about those people. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in what? Self-abasement. That's false humility. False humility. Many of the people that you will watch that drive movements of hyper-experiential stuff will appear extremely humble. Where if you were to say something about the person that's leading movements like that, you'd be like, well, that person's so humble. I mean, they're so nice. Like, how could you say that? That is so mean to say about them. No, but what you see is in them, they're just like, it's not me, it's the Lord. It's not me, it's the Lord. It's not really the Lord, it's you. But you're kind of driving this whole thing based upon people's experiences and emotions rather than on the glory and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Like, the gospel is what you want to see. And so when you listen to people that are talking to you, think about how many times they talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Think about how many times they talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think about how many times they say it's all about Jesus and it's not about you. Because many people that lead hyper-experiential movements don't talk about Jesus at all. He never even gets a mention. Maybe a name here or there, but certainly not blood, certainly not righteousness, certainly not death, certainly not burial, certainly not resurrection, certainly not hell, certainly not any of the glorious things that the New Testament describes.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and the second segment of a three-part message titled Pathetic Practices. Right now, we're in a series from the book of Colossians called Focused, learning how to keep Jesus Christ at the front and center of our lives. If you've joined us late or you'd like to revisit a previous lesson from our current study, catch up anytime at bravemedia.online. And for even more Brave content, download the Brave Church app to your mobile device. The app offers exclusive resources and opportunities at Brave Church, like signing up for one of our small group Bible studies, submitting prayer requests, and registering for special ministry events. Build your own personal connection with the Brave Church community by logging into your app store, searching for Brave Church Denver, and downloading our app today. And if you're looking for a new church home, we invite you and your whole family to visit this weekend at Brave Church. If you're anywhere near the Denver metro area, join us for worship in person at our campus in Englewood or our second campus in Westminster. If you're listening elsewhere, join us right from home through our live stream. Head to bravemedia.online and click the button near the bottom of our homepage that says Brave Church for details and directions. In the meantime, if you have a question or maybe a comment you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, maybe how this ministry has blessed you, email us. hello@bravechurch.co or send a letter through the mail. Write to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado 80113. Again, that's Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado 80113. Well, that's all of our time for now. We're so glad to have you with us. I'm Bill Carl. Tune in tomorrow for the third and final part of our message, Pathetic Practices. It's an important conclusion you don't want to miss. Coming up next time on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.